Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Oregon, Washington. You know the play. Kenny Wheaton's going to score. Kenny Wheaton's going to score. Jerry Allen has that great call. Kenny Wheaton intercepts the Damon Heward pass. He goes 97 yards for a touchdown. It's a big play. I wasn't in the stadium, though. I just know it from watching and listening to the clip. Nick Aliotti, former Oregon defensive coordinator, was in the stadium. What was that like?
Hi, John. How are you doing?
I'm good.
What was it like? Well, it was one of the all-time, probably top five football games I've ever coached in. And Kenny Wheaton's going to score. It was down in history. But in reality, Kenny Wheaton should have fell to the ground. We take a knee, game over. But he ran it back, and that's why it's even more famous.
Yeah, the moment, you know, I have to look back at the history books, but I think Washington had won like 15 of 17 games in that stretch. They had been pretty dominant. You guys had the lead in the game. They're driving. What is the feeling like? Is it, oh no, here we go again?
Well, there was a little bit of that, but when you're in the moment, it's you better stay focused. What are we going to do? I do remember this. I remember their driving. We had just scored on a belly play for a touchdown to take the lead. And they're driving the ball. And they got Damon Heward and some really good players. And they got Napoleon Kaufman. And I remember we called a timeout right before this play because they had 11 personnel. And I said, wow, okay, what's the best thing we can do? If they give it Napoleon, I need to have a run blitz. But then that leaves us man-to-man on the outside. So I did call it. We put in our nickel package, which puts Kenny in the game on the slot receiver. We ran a blitz, brought six, and I was thinking there and give the ball to Napoleon because that's what I would have done, guarantee it. But I'm glad they didn't. And they threw that out. And Kenny Wheaton, having studied football and watching film all week, said, Coach, I know when they get in here, they run that out play, and he was ready for that play. That just shows you, a lot like our defense is playing now, guys studying and being ready for the moment.
Nick Aliotti, former Oregon defensive coordinator, is with us. As Kenny's got the ball in that stadium, you know, what do you remember about the reaction, coaching staff, and the feeling in the stadium?
Well, it was one of the greatest feelings you could ever have as a coach in a football game because of the lack of success we've had against Washington. And we were in a fight to go to the Rose Bowl that year. Little did we know at that time how important that game really was. We always know it's important, but my point being, we had about four or five games left to play after that. My memory is slipping here a little bit, but I do know this. We had games after that, but to beat Washington put us tied for first and a chance, you know, in the driver's seat, so to speak. So that was a big moment, a great feeling. Like I said, there's only a few of those. I've had a few great ones, but that one right there ranks up there amongst the top.
Right now, Washington, last week, if you'd talked to me at halftime of their game with Arizona, I would have thought this is just not the same old Washington team. But something happened in the second half where they looked like the old Huskies. What did you see?
I just started to see them execute a little bit better. I think they've had the talent for whatever reason, they've struggled. They had a tough time against a good Cal defense up at home, and then they didn't look very good. I thought Stanford in that particular game, David Shaw was a couple steps ahead of Chris Peterson and the offensive coordinator for Washington, or the defensive coordinator for Washington, I should say. David was really ahead on offense. He kind of was dialed in, and Stanford really just outplayed him in that game. But Washington is a good football team, and Washington at home in Seattle with Chris Peterson is a really good football team. So this is the first, in my opinion, you take the Auburn game out of it. This is the first real test that Oregon's going to have this year going on the road against a good Washington team.
Yeah, let's speak a little bit to that, because I know that there were times, and I think it was really interesting that I remember you as a coordinator. Sometimes you guys would win a blowout game, and Nick Aliotti would come in there fired up that the backups weren't focused, we were a little sloppy, and you won like, you know, 62-14. And I think, gosh, you know, that guy's dialed in. Can you get a lot when you watch, you know, they haven't played great competition? I mean, they've done what they should, but what do you gather when you see Oregon playing against Colorado and some of the other teams they played against?
What I see right now, and it's refreshing, is a football team that is really, and you use the words, dialed in. They really are into the game. They know the plan. And I see a team that really loves one another. Now, that's easy to do when you're winning. It really is. It's a lot easier than when you're losing. But this team looks like a team that is really together. They have a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm. They run to the ball. There's a lot of hats around the ball on defense. They're doing what they have to do to win. I really don't think they've been challenged yet. I think this weekend they might be challenged for the first time. But I see a team, a very good football team, that there's something special when you see a team care about one another the way I'm seeing this thing on TV week in and week out. They are into it. They are dialed in. They want to win. And they take a lot of pride. What I noticed is that game against Colorado, they were way up. And the seconds and thirds and those that played later in the game were just as much dialed in to get that victory and not let Colorado get in the end zone as much as the team was early in the game.
Andy Avalos of the defense, your coordinator, what are they doing on defense?
They have multiple fronts and coverages. They're dropping a safety into the box to the weak side of the formation once in a while, to the strong side of the formation to get an extra hat against the run, changing up the coverages. Sometimes they don't drop a safety in there. They roll up a corner. But what I'm seeing, this is the best defense that I've seen Oregon play maybe ever for this stretch. I mean, they've played five games where nobody gets into the – obviously one touchdown, but nobody's getting into the end zone. They're playing great pass defense. They're stopping the run. They're aggressive. They communicate well. Like I said, they're dialed in. This, to me, it'll be a real test this weekend. If they do it this weekend, then I'll say, wow, they're really for real. But up to this point, it's the absolute best defense I've seen Oregon play in all the years I've been around the program.
These rivalry games, they come with a little extra. As a coach, how did you balance getting your guys ready to play, knowing that there's maybe a detriment to being too hyped up for a game? Is there such a thing as being overhyped?
You're only overhyped. You know, we used to talk about pressure is what you feel when you don't know what you're doing. I don't feel pressure because I know what I'm doing. So you're only overhyped, really, when you get in the moment. Once the game, once the ball is kicked off and you take your first hit, that all goes away. Now it's back to my training, my process. What am I doing? What are my eyes telling me? What's the offense doing if I'm on defense? What's the defense doing if I'm on offense? All that goes away, really, once the game starts for the true competitors that are locked in and really know what they're doing. I think the over getting overhyped thing, most of the time it's the guys that aren't playing that are getting carried away, maybe getting a fight, to be honest with you. But I think once the game starts, I think that you get dialed in pretty much.
Nick Aliotti is with us, former Oregon defensive coordinator. I liked what Oregon did on Friday night, getting Justin Herbert going. They you know, I think they need to really commit to him being part of that identity. On the flip side, I was at the Oregon State game on Saturday and got a chance to see Utah up close. And man, are they physical! They are big and physical. What do you see when you look at Utah and you look at Arizona State and you look at USC in the South?
Well, I was also at that game working for the Pac-12 network, and I didn't think it would be quite that type of game. I thought Jonathan had a few things up his sleeve, but to your question, Utah was just so much bigger and stronger. They're a big football team. Up close, I went on the field. That's a big unit that flies around, and they're also very well coached. So, yes, Oregon down the road will have to play Arizona State, will have to play USC, and then if both teams do what they're supposed to do, we'll have to play Utah, hopefully in the championship game.
That physicality, Utah, I think, you know, maybe does that, how, as a coach, when you have that type of physical team, I don't know if you probably had some defenses with Eric Armstead and some other guys and DeForest Buckner that had some physicality to it. How does that make your job as a defensive coach easier?
You know, when your front can just take care of the run game with not having to overload the box, and your pass rush can disrupt the quarterback, get him off his spot, get some hits on him, get some sacks, that makes the job of the back end and the coordinator so much easier. So a dominant defensive front can do that and really make the job of the defensive coordinator and the DBs so much easier.
Nick Aliotti with us. Coach, this rivalry, Oregon-Washington, when I say that, what memories pop to mind?
Well, we've had some great battles with the Huskies, that's for sure. You know, the number one memory, there's two of them, actually. When I was a young coach, we were finally beating Washington. And I think this goes all the way back to, it's either 78 or 79. And we had that game in the hand. And one of their guys, I think his last name was Lee, returned a punt at the end of the game, and we lost 17-10. That was so heartbreaking because we were so close. But then the thing that I remember the most, and we already talked about it, is the game the year we went to the Rose Bowl, the pick, the way Danny O'Neill led the team for the go-ahead touchdown, and how we held on with Kenny's pick to win a very important game against our rival.
What was that defensive backfield like when you've got Alex Molden and Kenny Wheaton and Sherman and Chad Cota? What's that like to coach?
And Herman O'Berry. What it's like to coach, it makes your job very easy. It makes you look smart at times. Those guys, I tell you, those guys were not only good cover guys, they were great tacklers. They were great open field tacklers. And I'll never forget having moved from the linebackers to coach the secondary and taking over for Denny Shuler when I became the secondary coach and the coordinator, how the first drills we did in the secondary was tackling. And instead of footwork and all that fancy stuff that DBs do and movement drills, they looked at me and they were probably saying, this guy's crazy. We're DBs. We cover people. But now when I see him today, Sherman, Kenny, Coda, O'Berry, Alex, they all smile and say, Coach, we understand now because you put us out there in man-to-man a lot, and we had to tackle when they caught it.
Give me Nick Aliotti's off-the-cuff starting all-time secondary.
Wow. Well, that first Rose Bowl team, they hold a special place in my heart, so I could put all those guys as starters, but I'm not going to. So without really sitting down and thinking about it, because I'm going to get somebody mad, I'll hear about this too.
Yep.
But definitely Kenny Wheaton as my nickel, Alex Molden at one quarter, Jairus Byrd at another corner, Patrick Chung, and Chad Cota at safety.
That's
a pretty good team.
That group's going to make you look smart.
Yeah, they are. That makes good players make good coaches look smart. That's why recruiting is so important.
What do you think happens, Oregon, Washington? What's your feel on the type of game it's going to be? Low scoring, high scoring? Where is that range? And who do you like?
Wow, I'll tell you what. I'm obviously pulling for Oregon, but I think it's going to be a really good football game. And I hope it doesn't disappoint. I hope Oregon comes out on top, but I hope it doesn't disappoint. I want to see a good, hard-fought football game. But I think this one's going to be tough. I think it's close, very close, because Seattle's playing at home. Oregon's been getting a lot of hype. Washington's on the other side of this year. They're on the other side of it, where Oregon's getting all the hype, and they're the ones having to hear about it. So I'll trust that Mario Cristobal and his guys will be ready to play. I don't know if I could call it, John. I really don't. I know you want me to. I think it's very, very close. I think 28-24, I believe, even as good as the Oregon defense has been playing, I believe you need at least 24 points to win this football game this weekend.
I hope they turn Justin Herbert loose. I'm picking Oregon. I trust them more. That's why I'm picking them. Washington, I don't know who's showing up. Which are we going to get the best Washington team or not? But I will be tuned in and thinking about you as I watch the defenses, Coach. Thank you for making time.
Thank you, John. I always appreciate it. You have a great day.
Are you picking up the grandkids today?
You know, funny thing, I knew you were going to ask me that, so we'll laugh here a little bit. I didn't have the pickup today because I went duck hunting. And just like the duck defense, the duck shut me out. I didn't get a shot. So it was apropos.
I love it. Well, better luck next time, Coach. I appreciate you.
That's why they call it duck hunting and not duck shooting.
I love it. Coach, thank you.
All right, John. Take care.
All right. Great stuff from Nick Aliotti. Love having him on the show. Love that he listens to the show. For those of you listening on Fox Sports Eugene, KORE, Nick Aliotti's right there with you, noon to 3 p.m. weekdays. Leave it right here. Guests I'm efforting for the rest of the week. Jerry Allen, voice of the Ducks. Want to get him on to talk about the Kenny Wheaton play. I also want Softy from KJR Radio in Seattle on the show. I want Softy on the show because he brings gems like this one. This is from 2016 when Softy came on the show criticizing Oregon's uniform selection.
The Oregon Ducks are sitting there at, what, 2-3? Is that right overall?
Yep.
2-3, John?
2-3.
Okay. They're 2-3, and I'm still looking at flipping ESPN, sending out Twitter alerts because of the uniforms that Oregon's going to wear for the game on Saturday. Who gives a damn? They're 2-3. They're a non-factor from a national perspective, and ESPN is sending out alerts telling us what the hell uniform combination Oregon's going to wear on Saturday? Why do I care? And why should anybody care about that? And what the hell is this Webfoot nonsense? Are you kidding me? How ridiculous is that? You know what? Get a kicker, kick an extra point, and wear the same damn jersey for every home game like every other stinking college football team does.
He's a treasure. He's also the biggest Huskies honk around, if he will dare come on the show. Remember last year during the big game, Oregon beat Washington in overtime, but it was at the end of regulation that Washington's kicker, speaking of kickers, missed a field goal. Now, Softy wasn't at that game. I missed him. I missed seeing him at the games. Softy was home watching the game on TV, small TV, we hear, and he was Facebook Living during the last seconds of regulation. I happen to have the audio of it.
All right, baby, here we go. Oh, man, what a week, huh? Man, I feel like shit. My head's f***ing killing me, and I don't give a damn. Let's go, Peyton. He's got this. He's going to make this kick. You and I both know he's making this kick. He is going to make this kick. Here we go, baby. Come on, Peyton. Come on, Peyton. Let's go, big boy. You got it. 38 yards. 38 yards. 38 yards.
Come on, Peyton.
Come on, Peyton. You got it, baby.
Come on, buddy.
Let's go, big boy.
Come on.
Let's go, big boy.
Ah,
Mario's getting nervous. Come on, man.
I would have liked to have had a little more. I didn't like running the clock down at the end there. I thought maybe run one more play and try to get to 34, 35 yards. But, hey, just, all right, it's okay. 38 yards. If I would have told you before the game that we'd have a crack at a game-winning 38-yard field goal, I think you would have taken it. Didn't we ask this question before the Auburn game earlier in the year? But we said 40. Now it's 38. At Oregon, and you're talking about game seven, not game one.
On,
look at this.
Okay, you have nervous. To stop talking. Stop talking.
Come on, baby.
Come on, baby.
The big one's upstairs. Wilkers, whatever the hell your name is. Everybody asking, why don't you have a bigger TV? The bigger TV's upstairs, okay? My niece lives with us, and that's her room now. That's why the TV's upstairs and why we're down here, for crying out loud. Stop asking me why we have a small TV. We don't. Make it. Here we go, baby. Come on, Peyton. Come on, Peyton. Come on, Peyton. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I hate this guy.
Come on, man.
I hate this guy.
Ah, shit. And he made that one just like freaking Matt Bryant missed it against it. I hate this. I hate icing the kicker. I hate the targeting rules in college football, and I hate icing the kicker on both sides. Their side, our side, I don't give a shit whose side, anybody's side. Get it out of the game. Get that crap out of the game. It's driving me freaking crazy. The call on Jalen, the call on the other guy for Oregon, Carl's bad, whatever the freaking hell his name, terrible. Ruining college football. Hate it.
Hi.
Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Come on, Peyton. 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 You got it. Snap, hold, like an opera. Everything's a piece. Just fluid motion.
Come on, Peyton.
Come on, Peyton.
Come on, Peyton.
Come on, baby.
Come on, Peyton.
Come on, Peyton. You got it.
Come on, Peyton.
Fuck. Unbelievable.
There it was. Softy KJR. I find that incredibly funny. Every time I hear that, it's funny. I don't know why it's so funny to hear. First of all, he's sick, but here is agony, his pain. I texted him during the playing of that and said, let's do it. Thursday or Friday, you pick the day. Softy KJR in Seattle. Coming up, the 2 at 2, the two biggest things going on in the world of sports. And for those of you who are looking for an audio or video solution, Chelsea Audio Video. Go to ChelseaAudioVideo.com to get the audio and video solution experts on your case. We went into the store, walked in through the doors, started tinkering around with all the bells and whistles and all the demonstrations they have in their showroom. And what we ended up with is Chelsea Audio Video in our house, putting in an automation system, lighting, cameras, our security system, communicating with the door locks, communicating with the lights. All that automation that's supposed to make your life simpler, don't DIY it like I did to start with. You just waste money. Go to Chelsea.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Baltimore.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but
If you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.